I'd like now to welcome to the program Fran Levine. She's director of the New Mexico History Museum, and Kate Nelson, who's project manager of the Centennial Letters Project, which we want to tell people about. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having us, Lynn.
Thrilled to be here.
So the Centennial Letters Project is a fascinating and brilliant project, which in a way looks backward in terms of how information is archived. What's it all about?
We decided, as we were getting ready for the Centennial of New Mexico here in 2012, we started looking through the archives for reminiscences, letters, diaries, anything that could give us people's perspective on what life was like in New Mexico in 2012. And we found very little in 1912, very, very little. And so we decided to both look back and forth and forward at the same time. And Kate came up with this brilliant idea of inviting people to write us letters about what their lives were like in New Mexico in 2012 that we would put together in a collection for people to have for when New Mexico celebrates its, I guess it was bicentennial in 2112.
And so you put out the call for people to write letters on paper and mail them to you.
In full sentences in more than 140 characters. And we're getting people writing them. And there are a number of interesting things. Some of them are screamingly hilarious. Some of them have made us cry. Some of them show us that younger people have a lot of trouble writing a letter these days. Lots of slang from them.
Do they use the letter U to mean you?
There's some of that text language.
Only a little bit. We actually, I think it depends. We've gotten a number of letters, maybe as many as 30 or 40 letters from a project called Upward Bound in Roswell. And it's a program that deals with teenagers in high school, so that these kids live in Roswell, Artesia, Lake Arthur. And probably we've gotten the greatest number of letters from them, and those kids can write.
These are college-bound kids, and they're taking it seriously.
With some good English teachers.
I believe so, yes.
It's either an English teacher or a creative writing teacher. I can't decide who she is, but she is an angel of writing. Some people think they have to send it to us in handwriting, and they don't. It can be typewritten, but we're trying to not get emails. We're trying to get mailed letters. And
there's something, Fran's a historian, and she can talk about this more eloquently than I can, but I share that sense when you're holding a letter that someone wrote themselves in your hands and reading those words, there's something different that happens than when you're looking at something on a
computer
screen.
The first letters that we got, and we didn't know when we did this, we thought, maybe we'll get 100 letters and we'll be really happy. Well, we're over 100 now. And then we said, maybe we'll get 2012 letters. And the first letters that we got, we would sit and cry reading them. And now we don't have as many that move us to tears, but we have ones that inspire us. We have ones that we put down the piece of paper and we say, these kids have lives that are so much harder than they
ought
to be.
The one girl who told us about how hard her life is, both of her parents are dead. Most of her relatives have either written her off or are drug addicts. And she's raising herself with an older sibling. And that's her daily life, is getting herself out of bed by saying, it's going to be okay today. That's a lot for a kid in 2012 to be dealing with. And I think a kid in 2112 hearing about this is going to have a perspective on that kind of a lifestyle that's important. It's going to have added value in the future.
And we also get letters from kids that are full of questions about what's the world going to be like in 2112. Do you have
flying cars?
Do you have flying cars? Do you
do you
still
have any
games?
Cars?
Any cars?
Any cars? Somebody asked that question.
Yeah.
So it's great. You asked about, do they use a lot of slang and stuff? We only got one group of letters where the kids were obviously talking to each other. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when teachers send us letters, what we wish is they'd send us a seating chart. Because you can tell that the kids who were sitting next to each other were talking about what they were going to say. And a couple of them have used text characters, and we have no idea what the text message means.
Oh, my goodness.
Or some of the bands they listen to. I'm sorry, I'm in the dark.
I don't know any of those.
Right. Well, I mean, it's interesting when you... Okay, so let's say you're looking back 100 years. You're looking into the New Mexico archives at letters that somebody wrote 100 years ago. What kind of details are really interesting to you?
We brought one with us.
Okay.
We just love.
This is a letter, and I'll let Fran read it. This was a letter written in 1930 by a woman named Ida Curry. She was a child welfare pioneer in New York City, came out here for a visit, and this is a rather long letter. We'll just read you a paragraph or two of her experiences here.
This is one that she wrote in 1930, actually, July 10th, 1930, and she was obviously writing this to a group, maybe even back in New York, and she says, "Dear everybody, I'd always thought of New Mexico as a hot country, only to be visited in the comfort in the spring or the fall, and even in the winter. But when friends told me of their summer vacation in the mountainous parts, I concluded to add a summer in Santa Fe and points nearby to my other Western experiences." And she says, and then she goes on, it's much longer, it's about a five- or six-page, single-space, typewritten letter. And she says, "To start me on my sightseeing, I drove to the famous old town of Taos, pronounced nearly like Taos," and she spells it out phonetically. "Over interesting and at times beautiful country with the high mountains ever in sight, through the lovely canyon of the Rio Grande, and on until we came to the town itself, just 4 hours too late, to see a sure enough Wild West murder, with where one man shot another in the public square of the town at about 10 a.m. But then she tells us about going to the Harvey House, probably in Lamy, and having a wonderful dinner, and then arriving in Santa Fe.
Going horseback riding at Tent Rocks in Cochiti and staying at cabins there. Wonderful, wonderful details of places that aren't there today. And that's one of the things we're hoping people give us a little bit more of. Some people, this is what I was saying about that uncomfortableness with writing letters. Some of them feel a little more like a journal entry about what they're feeling inside today.
Yeah,
rather
which
than
I was going to say, like if I, which I hate to do, but the few times that I've looked back at my old diaries from like high school, the parts about how I felt about a particular person in school are a lot less interesting.
Yes.
Than the things that are actually descriptive of the environment in
Precisely.
Some way.
And that's what we want, or more description. And I think that's partly what Kate and I have discovered, is that writing feels like a more interior process for a lot of people. But yet, some of those interior revelations, a man from Arroyo Seco wrote us probably the letter that has stayed with me the most. And he wrote about the gradual process of losing his hearing and becoming deaf. And he was living in California, and it wasn't until he came and moved to New Mexico, and he said it's like his life split in half. And when he came here, that profound silence that he lives in is accompanied with this profound beauty. And he talked about it. Well, that was in a very interior writing, but he gave us so much detail about his life and how he lives. We get a lot of letters about the beauty of the sky and the beauty of the landscape. But what we want to hear about, the ones that we love, are the people who describe their lives to us.
I want to read you just a little bit from one of those children from the Upward Bound program Eastern New Mexico University. He writes, "I live in a nice house in Lake Arthur, a small town just north of Artesia and south of Roswell. Lake Arthur is a small town with about 400 residents. It is calm, and at this point, the cop does not even roam around the town anymore. But there is still not much crime. Lake Arthur's population is decreasing, and I hope that by the time you read this letter, my beloved little town is still in existence. I hope that it eventually grows into a booming town with many people. What people look forward to every week is Friday nights in Lake Arthur. This because the football team has made Lake Arthur an important place in New Mexico. Its rivalry with the Hondo Eagles will hopefully continue for many years to come."
Nice.
I imagine someone in 100 years cherishing that.
Yeah.
And we love the descriptions of people who talk about their lives, and they talk about going to farmers market and
adding solar panels to their house.
And we'd like to know, well, tell us about the farmers from farmers market. Tell us about the produce. Tell us about what you're buying, what you're cooking.
What's the recipe?
A lot of people say they love New Mexico because of the food, but they don't tell us what about the food or what they cook or how they make dinner for the six people who live in their house. One man wrote us a very detailed discussion of the chickens that he keeps in his backyard here in Santa Fe and how his neighbors are beginning to get after him about keeping chickens, but the way he and his wife bicycle to work and their children walk to school. And those are the kinds of rich details about life.
A couple
life
of older
now.
People have written us about how their neighborhoods have changed over time, and particularly in Albuquerque, which had such a huge growth spurt after the 1940s. And those kinds of details are really telling, especially to those of us who came to New Mexico late, to realize that beyond Indian School there was no Albuquerque. That there were dirt roads still.
And it doesn't all, I mean, one woman wrote and she said, I'm disappointed and I'm scared at what's happening in New Mexico. You know, we've lost some of the wonderful qualities of life here, the quietness, the knowing our neighbors, the use of native materials. So not everything that we love is about this beautiful, bountiful land. There are, one of the pieces that we got talks about the drought that's gripping the Southwest right now.
Right.
And it's a very powerful piece of writing. He said, as I write this letter, New Mexico and Texas are suffering from a severe drought, one of the worst on record. Predictions for rain this year are not promising. Predictions for the next 50 years are worse. This is bad news for farmers and ranchers, of course, but it's bad news for the rest of us as well. What is the climate like in 2112? Did it get hotter and drier as predicted? Did we do anything proactive to ward off climate change? Is the population of New Mexico bigger or smaller or the same as it was today? Is there enough water and do we still drive cars? It's just a beautiful, evocative piece of writing that's both about the concerns that we have now and asking people in the future to think about and evaluate the way they live as well.
I am totally going to write one of these letters.
Yay! With like everyone,
too. It makes you think about, I mean, when I think about, for example, how my life is different from the life I grew up in, and in many ways, in terms of infrastructure, it's very similar. We drive cars, we have running water, we can take hot showers, we walk our dog, and so on. And one of the huge differences between, for example, my life and my dad's life, and he died when I was 18, is computers and that kind of interconnectedness. And I think it's important to write about those things and how they've changed your life. And I don't even want to say for better and for worse, but just how they've changed it.
Just how you use it.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have a lot of the details about the tools, about how people make a living, about what people do in their offices every day.
But what kind of car you drive.
Yeah. Or, you know, you use a computer, but what do you do with it?
Yeah.
And what is your work life like? A lot of times, you know, historians and archaeologists get to look at different parts of the way people live. Historians get to look at the letters, the journals, the diaries. And it's usually only people of means who are able to leave those kinds of records and who think about saving and passing on to the next generation. So we often get a little skewed. Archaeologists working here in the Southwest, you know, they dig in forgotten pieces of the past. It's those small things that we forget about, the things we throw away. And they often can tell us more about the diet in the past, even than a letter from times past or a cookbook.
Right.
So it's trying to get
this
people to...
This is a very democratic project.
Well, we hope so.
Everyone has a voice.
Yeah, everybody who wants to have a voice can have a voice. And the way they can do that is that they can write a letter and send it to...
The Centennial Letters Project.
Centennial Letter Writing Project, New Mexico History Museum, 113 Lincoln Avenue, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87501. And there's going to be a centennial stamp
There is a centennial stamp. That's what sort of sparked this whole thing was when on Statehood Day, January 6th, the Postal Service unveiled a centennial stamp in honor of New Mexico. And we thought, how pretty, how nice to use that to encourage people to write letters, which seems so radical.
I got a Christmas letter from a college friend. It wasn't a Christmas card. Actually, it was a post-Christmas letter saying, and we're Facebook friends, but he just decided to write and said, hey, and I got this letter, and I thought, oh, my God, because his wife is a very good friend of mine. I thought, oh, my God, is she sick? Is something terribly wrong? Because there's a handwritten letter from this man. He's like, well, I'm just writing a letter because I thought, hey, how radical to write a letter, because even though everybody uses Facebook and email. And then just had a chatty two-page letter about how the family was.
And isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, and I'll keep that thing.
Yes.
All my emails from, let's say, 10 years ago, they're gone.
They're exactly. Ephemeral. Well, we've started doing things, too, like printing out some letters to save. But we really are encouraging people to write. You don't have to handwrite. It's okay to use a computer.
Because in fact, it might be better if your handwriting's at all like mine.
Or mine.
You know,
it's part of the way we live now, but we saw those beautiful stamps and thought they should be on more than just bills.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they should be on more than just, they should be something that are kept. And many people are writing us, using us, the New Mexico Centennial Stamp, to mail it, which is also very cool.
And you should
be
encouraged that the highlight of every day is to count how many letters we got and sit down and read from them. So,
and when you think about the archaeologists or the historians or the archivists 100 years from now, they're not going to have access to my or any of your Facebook accounts.
That's true. Nope.
And I can't even read, for example, computer diary entries that I wrote when I was 25, because they're in a program that no longer exists or is supported or runs on any operating system.
Paper lasts.
How are you going to make sure these are cataloged and kept?
We have in the Fray Angelico Chavez History Library, which is part of the History Museum, is our long-term archive. And so these letters will all go into acid-free folders and go into our archive, and they'll be recorded as a collection called the Centennial Letter Writing Project. So they'll all go together. We're struggling with the issue of we'd like to exhibit some part of them between now, between April and November, while we have our installation in our front window about exhibitions in one of our galleries. But we really have to think about it, because some people have revealed very personal information. Mm-hmm. And a couple of people have written on them, please don't share this letter
until I'm gone. Right. Some of them, if it's just their address and so forth, I'd just rather not reveal personal details like that. So we're working on some ideas, maybe using excerpts of them and having that available for people who come and visit the museum over the course of this year.
We've started excerpting and As we read the first letters, we really didn't know how many we would get. And so we thought, well, we'll just exhibit these letters. And then gradually some of the questions, there's too many of them. And not wanting to reveal people's personal details if they're not ready. You can always excerpt them
and retype them so that you can't recognize handwriting
there
and stuff like that. Excellent. Well, we are so delighted to hear about this project. Fran Levine is the director of the New Mexico History Museum. Kate Nelson is project manager of the Centennial Letters Project. And once again, you can just look up the address in the... Is there still such a thing as a phone book?
I don't use one.
Yes.
NMHistoryMuseum.org.
NMHistoryMuseum.org or 113 Lincoln Avenue, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87501. Ladies, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.